This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can always be a part. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. on the board and jazzed as hell to introduce to you our next guest, John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times here locally. Friend of ours, John, it's been a while. Welcome.
Hey, it's good to be with you, brother.
Hey, good to be with you, brother. It's been a long time. How you holding up after this election, man?
Well, you know, I think I might have preferred a different result. But, you know, in the overall scheme of things, I've seen wins and losses and good results and bad results. This one was, on the numbers, not as bad as I think it was initially portrayed as. Yeah. Harris actually came within about 1.5 million votes. The Congress is close, et cetera. But in the fundamental reality, a close election or not, I think you're seeing the play out of it now. And it's going to be very rough for a lot of Americans. And, you know, I think people will come to regret it, regret the result. But at this point, I think looking back at the election is perhaps a little less consequential than looking forward.
Certainly, John. You know, lots to talk about with regards to the executive orders that were released by the current president. But also, Joe Biden issued a few pardons on his way out the door. Some I would question. Some I think were, you know, the family one's a little weird. You know, the Fauci and the J6 committee is not quite clear. Leonard Peltier, I think, you know, certainly deserved. What was your thought on how President Biden wrapped up his administration, John?
It wasn't well, frankly. I mean, look, in fairness to Biden, he gave a pretty decent farewell address. And there were elements of that that were way undercovered, much like Eisenhower. He warned about things in the future that we should be concerned about, particularly the sort of unregulated growth of AI, things like that, the reality of oligarchy in this country. But in many of his own actions, he did things that I think really cut against the sense of the man. And there was a sense of Biden as a decent guy who kind of, you know, his great strength was a willingness to abide by the rules, even when that was difficult. I think a lot of his pardons called that into question, at least for some folks. There's defenses. People make defenses for everyone he gave. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think that he historically will be served well by the record of all those pardons. And I guess this is what I'd say. I think the Leonard Peltier was a very good one, and one that no matter what you think about the history on this, it was time to let this man go home.
Yeah.
And I think also many of the releases for low-level offenses in the federal prisons were quite appropriate. I mean, we do have over-incarceration in a lot of instances, and so what he did there was good. Beyond that, I think we get to a place where we could talk about Biden and Trump and say that as a country, we simply need pardon reform.
Yes.
And I know that's not easy. I mean, I understand the constitutional challenges and all the others, but I do think the pardon power has gotten up to the point where it is abused more than it is honored. And so if it was left to me, I would look for a bipartisan move to be able to just get rid of it, to eliminate it in at least most senses, or to create a much more sensible structure for how to do it. I do want people to have the option of clemency or commutation of pardons. I think that's good. But when it is left so much to the whim of an individual president, I just think we see abuses all over the place.
Great thoughts. John Nichols from the Cap Times, of course, The Nation, joining the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, John, for doing so. As we move on in our discussion to perhaps now the Donald Trump's inauguration, the optic, John, of the, what, three wealthiest men in America sitting behind Trump, you know, trillion some dollars between them all. What Bernie Sanders, you know, we have a mutual affinity for Bernie Sanders. He pointed it out. What's the takeaway from that, in your opinion, John?
Well, I think the takeaway from that is the most powerful and important takeaway of the last few days. The Trump administration is, you know, kind of unapologetic in the fact, or about the fact, that this is the arrival of a fully oligarchical government. This is a government that literally tells members of Congress, you can't bring guests to the inaugural, yeah. But tells billionaires, yeah, you can. And you know, the seating arrangements, everything was just so communicative, right? It told you the reality of where we're at. And look, here's the truth. We know this. Since the founding of the country, we've had elements of oligarchy. We've had elites who are very, very powerful and who've been able to get away with a lot of stuff, right? That goes back all through the history of the country. But the good thing in this country was that historically, presidents were a little embarrassed by that. Yep. You know what I mean? They tried to create the image, at least, that they came from humble roots. A few of them did. But the reality is that I think this ostentatious display of wealth and the power of wealth and the influence of wealth and the quid pro quos that are already occurring, I think that sends a terrible message, not just about the presidency and about our politics. I think it's a bad message for the country.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a country that was made strong by working class people who got up early and worked late and, you know, followed rules and did their best to kind of do it right. And now we're seeing a situation where the message is, if you've got enough money, you can pretty much buy a place at the heart of government. That's not a healthy message for democracy, and it's one we're going to have to address at a fundamental level.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times. John, the money, it's always the money. I mean, and I think you're right. We've been, you know, even before this one, humanity, you know, always having that struggle between those that have the most and a lot and the rest of us trying to just get by, right? And hopefully have some semblance of individual and civil rights while our meager existence on this earth, right? But now it seems like, well, you know, back in the day, John, if you wanted to, you know, slide some money, you have to go buy all the books. You got to buy the unintimidated book. You want to give Scott Walker's campaign a bunch of money without regulation. Or maybe you have a candidate, John, that owns a hotel, and now all the Saudis can come in and rent out all the hotels, and now that's how you're going to transfer some of that money that you don't have to claim as dark money. You have to claim it as any sort of campaign contribution. But now we got what? We got meme coins. Donald Trump releases his meme coin right before he ascends to the presidency. And what is going to stop anybody or any country from getting into Donald Trump's good graces by simply going out and buying the meme coins, John?
Well, at his press conference today, the president said that they were trying to figure out how much he had made in the last few days. And one of the reporters was saying it was a couple billion. And Trump's response was he was up there with, you know, folks from Oracle and other big multinational corporations, OpenAI and such. And he said, well, that's just trivial to these people. Right. It's just chump change for these folks. And so we have a president of the United States who is now saying to the American people, oh, yeah, picking up a couple extra billion. That's nothing. It's barely worth noting. And the trouble with that is that, as you say, you open up the door to a circumstance where the presidency of the United States is not seen as the greatest honor of someone's life, right?
Right.
The chance to serve their country and serve their people. But it is, in fact, a chance to get very, very rich, right? To literally put yourself and your family into another economic orbit. And I got to tell you, I think that does damage. I mean, it's damaging with Trump, and we know why we're worried about that. But I think it's damaging to both parties, presidents of all backgrounds, because if you lower the standard, right, you end up with a situation where, you know, it's just going to become accepted that you get into that office and you try and make money in some way. You find out some avenue to do it. And then if that translates over to the Supreme Court, right, which we have seen members of the Supreme Court having, you know, very troublesome relationships with very wealthy people, members of Congress, et cetera, you end up with a situation where the whole of our government seems so corrupted that would it be any wonder that people just give up on the thing and even start to give up on democracy because they believe, you know, just no good can come of it. If you get to that point, there's very little that is more dangerous or damaging to a country because people just lose faith in the integrity of their leaders. They expect their leaders to cheat them to try and get ahead. And how, just to give a context for it, how do you imagine a Jimmy Carter would do in a situation like that?
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show, John Nichols. John, the corruption and the grift and the greed, it hurts the country in multiple levels, in many ways, in different arenas. And one of the things that concerns me is if you're so worried about padding your pockets and working on the next scheme to get your next billion, and I've seen, John, the numbers, of course, again, this is the meme stock, it's not cash in hand. You know, you can't go out and buy a beer with Trump's stock, this meme coin thing, but like up to 50 billion. I've seen some really, really big numbers in that regard. But my point being, John, is if there's a limited amount of time and lots of folks, you know, as they get to the presidency, they age quickly because there's lots of crises, sure, lots of things going on. If your main goal and your concern is about getting paid, what's going to slip through the cracks, John? You know, on a national security level, on a policy level, on all sorts of different levels. What, when the president and his staff and his cabinet are spending time trying to pad their pockets, they're not doing anything to further advance the welfare of the rest of the country. And in fact, could be very much harming them because they don't have their eye on the ball. John, do you have some more time with us for a few minutes on the other side?
Love to keep talking.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. Come back with us. We'll continue the conversation. Also want to get your take, John, on the executive order with regards to the birthright citizenship. Can a president, by executive order, just do away with constitutional amendments? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you, Bill Press. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a prognosticator. He's also a pal of ours. Throwing all the peas out there. You can find him online, BillPressPods.com. Earl Ingram joining us as well, Jess P.S. on the board. Bill, if we talk about some of the other executive orders that the administration has put out there, of course, today being the blatantly unconstitutional executive order trying to gut the 14th Amendment. A judge in Seattle, a federal judge, has put a 2-week restraining order on that executive order as the Republicans try to just do away with birthright citizenship, a constitutional amendment with an executive order. There's lots of issues with this bill. But what and I want to put this in the context of the fire hose. You know, there's so much stuff coming at us, and we do have to prioritize and pick our battles, essentially. Man, there's only 8 segments in this show. You know what I mean, Bill? What do you think is important to address from this first round of couple of days of Donald Trump?
I think the pardons are one of the most, probably the most important, right? Because, hey, Earl, you and I remember when the Republican Party called itself the Party of Law and Order.
Absolutely.
Not anymore.
The party, right? Of assault and battery, Bill. That's what I've been saying.
I thought it was assault, battery, and corruption.
That's right, ABCs.
ABC.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, that's what they are. And again, that message to not just to Capitol Police, but to police officers everywhere, right, is as long as it's political violence carried out by our people, our MAGA people, then it's all good and we got your back. That's the message. I was glad to see the Fraternal Order of Police, which endorsed Donald Trump.
Well,
but yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen some Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, our drunken buddy over on the Mississippi. Oh, I don't want to see that happen. Yeah, but it did. And what are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing, Bill.
Absolutely nothing. But at least the Fraternal Order of Police did come out with a statement condemning it. I have not heard one Republican senator. You're right. Some of them have said, well, I wouldn't have gone that far. Oh, I'm surprised. Yeah. But they have not condemned it. Not at all. Right. So that's one. Yeah. I think this birthright citizenship is extremely important to me because, look, what did Donald Trump say, right, in his inaugural address? God save me so I could make America great again. Yeah. You know, he thinks he's a divine. He thinks he's king.
Yeah.
He thinks he's got the divine. That's what they say about the King of England, right? God put him there, right? Donald Trump thinks that God put him there. And he doesn't. You notice in his inaugural address, he didn't say, so I want to work with Congress to do this, do that. No, he said, no, this is what I'm going to do all by myself. And I got all the power in the world and I will do it. Well, guess what? It took 2 days for one judge to say, I don't think so. I don't think. You cannot, one man does not have the power, by the way, neither does Congress, to just change the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
If Congress wants to do it, they got to have 3/4 of the states to go along with it. And the president certainly cannot say, I don't buy this 14th Amendment stuff. I know Nikki Haley, for one. I know somebody else. Maybe it's Ramaswamy, who would be deported, right?
Oh, right.
Who would not qualify for citizenship if Donald Trump did that.
It's just terrible. Bill, what about the, and I think earlier you may have mentioned this earlier in the show, the thought that, hey, man, it's just to get the wheels turning on this because it's essentially judge shopping, right? If he can get it in front of a friendly judge or get it in front of a friendly, I don't know, call it U.S. Supreme Court, man, I think they went against precedent by making, you know, Trump a king essentially in their last ruling. Who's to say if this thing doesn't get kicked up to the U.S. Supreme Court with three of his justices on there, that they don't have some other interpretation of this amendment?
Nothing.
Right.
There, no, I people
That's
ask
frightening.
Me. Yeah, it is frightening. But I think there are no guidelines for the next 2 years. There are no guidelines. The guidelines normally would be a Congress. Oh, forget it.
Yeah,
right. With Johnson and John Thune. I mean, no, forget it. Again, they applauded his January 6th pardons. They're gonna approve all of his cabinet nominees. Pete Hegseth, the most unqualified person. He couldn't run a Veterans Association because they had to carry him upstairs drunk every night, right? That was a group of probably 20 people. He couldn't run that. And now he's going to be in charge of 3 million people at the Pentagon, right? I mean, it's an insult to anybody who's ever worn the uniform or is wearing it today that this guy could end up there. So you can't count on Congress. The courts, forget it. Again, you may get a lower court that will turn them down, but they'll keep appealing it up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court baby is all his. Yeah. I mean, 6-3, forget it. Forget it.
So is that your, I mean, that's certainly the possibility, but do you think that would actually happen? Prognosticate for me, Bill.
I think John Roberts and Alito and Clarence Thomas will do anything that Donald Trump wants. Yeah. I mean, I think that's his court. And I think they've, look, the idea to me that this court would even hear a case that says the president is above the law, that they would even agree to take that case, says everything you need to know about the Supreme Court, in my judgment. Yeah, they're all his. So until 2026, there are no guardrails. Just Katie, bar the door.
And we'll be talking about it as much as we can, informing people on sure what we can actually do to stop these things.
And raising hell.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Bill Press, raising hell all the time. Appreciate it when you come around. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a prognosticator. Find him online at BillPressPod.com. Bill, thank you so much, man. It's been way too long. Looking forward to the next time, as always.
Great to join. Take care, Earl. Take care, man.
You as well.
All right, folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Got Earl Ingram joining me today. Jess P.S. on the board. We're going to wrap this show up with Tell Us Something Good. In the meantime, taking your calls right now, 855-752-4842. Thanks, Bill.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic. Co-host today, Matt Rothschild. Might not know it since I've been raging the whole time. Man, I'm sorry, man.
No worries, man. It's your show.
What I want is to get your opinion, and we'll get the callers. I see you in the texters. You guys are lighting it up. We'll get to it. We'll stay on this topic a little bit longer, 855-752-4842. We're lamenting the firing of 31-year-old local meteorologist Sam Cuffell from CBS 58 for the crime of objecting to the and calling out the Elon Musk Hitler salute on her personal Instagram pages. Apparently, that was the reason for the firing. I'm until I see something different, I'm going to just assume that's the case. The reporting on that from Dan Bice and America Spicuzza at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Hill also reporting. And, you know, it's one thing for us to say something, Matt. Well, what do the Germans think? The political editor for the German newspaper, what's it called? Die Zeit, D-I-E-Z-E-I-T. My German is not great. Here's the headline from the political editor. Now, this newspaper is generally considered to be the newspaper of record in Germany, just for the record. Call it like the Washington Post, New York Times, something like that. A Hitler salute is a Hitler salute is a Hitler salute. A column by Lenz Jacobson, again, the German newspaper Die Zeit. The quote, "The gesture speaks for itself. It's documented on video. Those who want to see something else in it, who don't want to see a Hitler salute, do so at their own risk. At its very core, this is about attention, society's most contested currency, at a time when every image, video, and soundbite vies to be noticed every second of the day. Trump and Musk excel at this game, especially in turning even bad publicity to their advantage. Case in point. And it's one thing. Right, yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I saw another European citation from The Guardian. Michael Friedman, a prominent German-French publicist, former deputy chair of the Central Council of Jews in Germany, described Musk's actions as a disgrace and said Musk had shown that a dangerous point for the entire free world had been reached. As far as he was concerned, Musk had unambiguously performed the Nazi Heil Hitler salute.
And while unambiguously a Nazi salute is a Nazi salute is a Nazi salute. Again, common sense, your own eyes, the history of the man, the lack of contrition for the misunderstanding that he did twice. The reaction of the white nationalists, the reaction of the fascists, reaction of the anti-fascists. I mean, that's our environment. That's the universe in which we live. And we see the reactions from all those things, man. It's like a chemical reaction. You can tell, you know why it's there. Because the man did it. And for locals to, what, get fired for it? It goes above and beyond, you know, these guys get vying for attention. It goes above and beyond, you know, us, these folks just giving us the shiny object to run around like a cat after a laser pointer. It has real world consequences. And we'll get into certainly the immigration. We'll get into birthright citizenship. But you got a news person, a weather person who just got fired for that. Shame.
Yeah, we're going to see more people using that salute, too. That's what's going to happen here in the next few days.
Well, it's just going to be an awkward salute, according to the ADL. Will we not have it? Would you, if someone's going down the street doing that, do you criticize? You just let it go. Is that acceptable? You know, come on, people.
Hell no. I mean, you have to call that out. Absolutely. Every time.
Every time.
And you mentioned white nationalist groups. While we were on the air, I looked up a group. I mean, I just Googled white nationalist groups and Musk and the Nazi salute.
Yeah.
And one of them said, you know, was thanking him for it, praising him for it, and said, the white flame will rise again. I mean, these guys are just, you know, they're overjoyed by it. It's a dream come true for them.
Well, it's one thing when they do it in their abodes. It's another thing when the richest man in the world does it. And rightly should be criticized. Folks, we see you. We're going to get to you right now. 855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Joe. What do you got?
Well, fun times. We're only like, what, two or three days in, and we're already dancing down the Nazi highway. How fun. I was interested in the reaction that a previous caller had had where he was joking. He said that, well, maybe it was just a spastic reaction on the part of Mr. Musk, which reminded me of the character in Dr. Strangelove who couldn't stop doing the Nazi salute. Remember that?
Yes.
Just kept whipping up, you know, it just couldn't stop. What I find sadly amusing is the people who are trying to excuse this by saying it was a, quote, Roman salute. Oh, well, that's hugely different. Since the Roman salute is associated with Mussolini, who started, you know, the guy who invented fascism and the merging of corporate power and state power together, and we are left on the highway. And I find this hysterical because it is known that Hitler copied the Roman salute. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, what are you talking about? Trying to make it seem less by calling it a Roman salute. You know, like people are just going, ciao, you know, and getting on their little death butt and zipping off. You know, come on, let's call it what it is. And the fact that we aren't allowed, or that people are saying, you know, how dare you call it what it is. Well, you know, as one person said, it stopped being the Roman salute in 1933. You know, it really stopped then. It's now the Nazi salute. Let's call it what it is. It's despicable. And yeah, you got to call it out. He doesn't have a spastic reaction. That would have been a one-time event and pretty unusual had it happened. So, you know, it's not a Roman salute. It's not a spastic reaction. It is a Nazi salute. Thanks.
You know, Joe's absolutely right about this. Thanks, Joe, as always, for your good comments. I just wanted to jump in here, and sorry for interrupting, but, you know, Professor Ruth Ben-Gayat, this professor at NYU of fascism, she was quoted in a BBC article saying this, historian of fascism here, it was a Nazi salute and a very belligerent one, too.
Mm.
This is what she's been studying for years and years and writing about.
Don't believe your lying eyes,
I can just say I'm a Holocaust educator. That was a Nazi salute.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you teach the children, right?
I teach the children,
and
indeed.
If a bunch of people, one person, anybody, goes down and does that, what would you explain to those children? How would you describe that?
I would describe it as a symbol that was used not only in Nazi Germany, but throughout the world to signify allegiance and alliance with a fascist genocidal movement. I've had my children come to me and say, I got heiled at school today.
Mm-hmm.
And what they mean is that another person did that salute at them to signify, I know you're Jewish and I hate you because of it.
It's just an awkward motion. I mean, maybe we should talk to the ADL about it. I know it's disgusting, right? It is. It's absolutely disgusting. And those that would defend it, those that, and again, Elon Musk has a platform, man. You know what I mean?
He's the richest man in the world.
He could, if he were upset, if he thought that as he now knows that this was something that is interpreted as a Nazi salute, if he gave a damn, he'd say something about it other than trying to, what, troll us about calling everybody Nazis. Well, dude, you're not denying it.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
He has not come out and said, I didn't do that. Oh, my God. I can't believe that that's how this is being interpreted.
Right.
I am so ashamed and embarrassed.
Yes. Yes.
Not at all.
No, his adolescent, you know, fascist personality loves that he's making this little stir. And he knew exactly what he was doing in the first place. And in the second place, by not apologizing, he knows exactly what he's doing.
He's continuing it. And the repercussions, real life, right here in this great city of Milwaukee, state of Wisconsin, a local meteorologist, Sam Cuffell, gets fired for objecting to the Nazi salute on their personal social media pages.
And what's going to happen on the playground when, you know, other adolescents or even kids younger than that are going to be doing this, just as Jess was suggesting happens, you know, and then what if the principal wants to discipline them, you know, Dan O'Donnell's going to come after the principal. I mean, you know what? Where's this going to end?
Those kids in Baraboo, man, that's not what that was. Come on, man. It's just asinine to think that that's not the case. Again, I'm open for Mr. Musk to clear the record. You know, I'd love to know what he's thinking. Of course, he's just trolling us, 855-752-4842. And he's trolling us, and we get that. We understand that. And we don't want people getting fired for their job for objecting to it. So I'm a little concerned about that. And I really, really, really an adamant about that. This is what someone does in their personal life on the personal pages. Come on, man. Does that reflect?
We also didn't hear from Trump denouncing it, did we?
No.
Of course not.
No. Nobody denouncing it.
That's his buddy.
Don't read into it. You're reading too much into it, Matt. It's too much. Now, when there's 100 people all in unison marching down the street doing it, then you can be concerned. But if it's only one, when it's only the richest man in the world who dumped more money into Donald Trump's campaign than anybody in campaign history ever. And he's
260 mil.
Yeah, I mean, dropping the bucket, baby. But look, come on, he damn near doubled his wealth. So, you know, it was a great investment for Elon Musk. But I'm saying, you know, if you got kids, come on, when you got kids or you got friends, if someone came up to you and gave you one of those, so excited to see you, what would your reaction be?
Horror?
You know what I mean? Is that acceptable?
No,
your kids get up in the morning
not.
And they're going to go get on the bus. You're going to drop them off at school and they're going to go in. And when the teachers say, hey, kids, how you doing? They give the teacher the night. Would you say that's okay? Dan O'Donnell, CBS 58. Is that behavior you think we should not condone? You think that's behavior that should be accepted? I don't buy that, ma'am. I don't buy that. And I put up with a lot, man. I am down with all sorts of stuff. But if you're going to give the Nazi salute, the least I can do is call you out for giving the Nazi salute.
855. Yeah, the least you can do is take the criticism.
Right. 855-752-4842. Let's keep rolling on the lines. Matt from Middleton, you will be next. Thank you for calling. Thanks for joining. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I wanted to share with you that Goebbels guy that was Hitler's propagandist. He was a big fan of this sci-fi kind of fictional book, and had him read it when he was young. And one of the characters in it is named Elon. And the story of it involves this super race of white Aryans that occupy Mars, and they're technically savvy, techno-futurist you know, Aryans that occupy Mars. And I just thought that was interesting that, you know, the more we learn about Elon and his father, you know, they're definitely Nazis. And I'm fairly terrified.
Matt, thanks for the call. Is that why there's such a, they want to go to Mars? Is that why he's so excited? Because finally the book that Goebbels wrote or read, that was read to him as a child. Nature nurture. I mean, they're from South Africa, not known for their great democracy, historically speaking.
Let's just put it that way.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying. 855-752-4842. We got Jim from Appleton, also some of my old stomping grounds. Hey, Jim, welcome. What do you got?
Hi, guys. I got, regrettably, the weather lady is not the first broadcast personality to be fired for stating anti-right-wing stuff on their own personal social media. Mm. I know of two up here that have been fired already.
Wow.
Probably more. But, yeah, Goebbels. I think we should refer to Musk more as Goebbels because of what he did with Twitter. Goebbels was the master propaganda.
Right.
Musk sure turned Twitter into a masterful propaganda machine. And as far as Elon goes, remember, Hitler was an Austrian. He moved to Germany and seized power. Elon came from South Africa. Sure looks like he's grabbing power a lot.
Well, he's not limiting it to here in the States, man. He's throwing that influence all over the world. But the many can overcome the money, man. That's what I'm saying. And so I don't give a damn how many things he tweets out there and how many right-wing outlets say, no, it's just totally fine. Or even the Anti-Defamation League. You see what you see what you see. As the guy from Germany in their newspaper over there wrote, a Hitler salute is a Hitler salute is a Hitler salute. I don't want my kids doing it. Don't want my neighbors doing it. Don't be walking down the street, people giving me that. I find it offensive. You should too, without getting fired for it. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 855-752-4842. But you got to tell us something good. I am inspired by a Reverend buddy. Mark from Sussex chimes in. What, Dom at a sermon? Yeah, man, I went to go sing. I didn't believe any of it, but I certainly can appreciate the love in the air, man. When you feel the love, love is love, and I love the love. 855-752-4842. Matt, you came today with something good. Tell me about it, man.
Well, I've got two good things. One is I saw 55 goldfinches out on my railing I was feeding this morning.
Wow.
So I saw the picture you posted. Was it yesterday?
Or yesterday. Oh, yeah, that was a record. So 55.
Wow.
You got to feed the birds, especially in this cold. But I brought a poem from Ada Lee Moan, who is the U.S. Poet Laureate. I'd seen her speak in Madison about 6 months ago, bought her book called Carrying, an incredible book. Highly recommend it. And I think we have this poem, don't we, Jess?
Indeed.
Let's hear it.
Instructions on not giving up. More than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crab apple tree. More than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy-colored blossoms to the slate sky of spring rains. It's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. When all the shock of white and taffy, the world's baubles and trinkets leave the pavement strewn with the confetti of aftermath, the leaves come. Patient, plodding, a green skin growing over whatever winter did to us, a return to the strange idea of continuous living. despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Fine then. I'll take it, the tree seems to say, a new slick leaf unfurling like a fist to an open palm. I'll take it all.
Oh, I do love that. That's Ada Limón reading her poem, Instructions on Not Giving Up. And we can't give up. We need to keep being patient. We need to keep plotting, as she says there. So I love that. I think we need that kind of advice at a time like this.
The leaves will come.
Yeah.
Jess, you got anything you want to share?
I do.
All right.
I protected my time, my well-being, by turning off my notifications. Saying I love you to all my friends and then putting my phone away and playing some video games with my husband.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what did you play?
Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, is that like a...
It is 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons turned into a video game, and it's a lot of fun.
Really?
It's so much fun.
Do you have like characters? You build characters up and all
right. I've got a paladin going right now, so she smacks things real hard, but also with holy vengeance.
Oh, is it like a computer game or a console game?
It's on console or PC. Oh, so we're playing it on a PS5.
All right. 855-752-4842. I'm going to squeeze this one out there. I know in my heart, I always want to be honest with you folks. And I have to tell you something's been bothering me the last couple of days. I talked about the band Badfinger. And I talked about how I played some music. And in example of that, we played a song called I Got a Line on You, which was done by Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that's not the same band as Badfinger, but I expressed in my telling of the story, because it was on my Badfinger playlist, that I commingle the two. So the song I Got a Line on You is not by Badfinger, of course. It's by Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered me for 2 days.
It really did.
It's been bothering me. And so I just got to tell you, I say it when I mean it, man. I'm here to be as honest as I possibly can. And if I ever so rarely get it wrong, I guarantee you I will correct the record. Please hold me to it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if that's what keeps you up at night, Don,
you've been leading
a good life. Baby.
I was like, how can I mix that up, man?
We got off the show on Monday, and he just put his head in his hands and went, "I said it wrong."
That's the worst thing you've done. You're good.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jess. 855-752-4842. I got a line in you. If we could hear that, it'd be great too. Let's get to the phones. Last couple of minutes here. Alan from Jackson, you are up. Welcome, Alan. What do you got for us?
Hey, yeah. So a lot of people on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, have been throwing around this word unity. I've got kind of a hot take on that, and that is, you know, there are few that have been more unified than Germany in 1939.
Mm.
And this regime is not what I'm going to get unified under. So they can take their unity and stick it where the sun don't shine.
Right. Great point. I guess it depends on the context, right? Wisco Paul, you'll have the last word. Welcome. What do you got for us?
I'd like to report gas prices are down, but they're up. Basically down, the GOP is dead of the party. It's a Trump party. So the good news is Civic Media is still on the air. You haven't been shut down yet, so that'd be great.
Not yet. Thanks for the call, Paul. You know, the night is young. We'll see what happens. Some of the texters, Todd from De Pere says, tell you something good. Trump has less than 4 full years in office, albeit 2 days less than 4 years. Every day closer to 1/20/29. Counts. Yes, it's the little things.
It's the little things. Andrew from Maine shares something good. He was able to donate blood.
Nice, Andrew. Well
Apparently,
done.
Last time he tried, he couldn't meet the requirements, but this time he could, and that is definitely something good.
Right on. Thank you, Andrew. I want to thank our co-host today, Matt Rothschild. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on Wednesdays, my friend. Hopefully, we'll do it again next week. I want to thank Jess P.S. working hard on the board, on the cuts. And, of course, all you fine folks, thank you for listening. Stick around. Pete Schwabba is coming up next. And also, Civic Media special coverage of the State of the State Address. Governor Evers starts just before 7 p.m., hosted by Civic Media's own Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer. Stick around. Lots of stuff coming. We will talk to you tomorrow.
national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.